This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part one of a two-part series. Our topic today is the return of the divine feminine. So let me ask you, have you ever had that experience where you have had incredible embodied lovemaking bliss? And then you open your eyes and you see the world around you in deep trouble and you wonder, how could such opposites coexist? Maybe you even question what you could do to live with these two dramatic extremes and continue living in bliss. Well, here to discuss this profound topic with us today is one of the world's great visionaries, Andrew Harvey. So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Hi, it's so great to have you here.
It's great to be on this wild and wonderful show in the wild, wild west. This is perfect.
Yes, the wild internet.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Andrew. In brief, he's a poet, a writer, a scholar, a tantric mystic, a dynamic speaker, and a passionate sacred activist. He's the author of more than 30 books, including one entitled The Return of the Mother. He's devoted much of his life to studying the world's mystical traditions. Andrew Harvey has taught at major world universities as well as leading spiritual centers. And he's the founder of the Institute of Sacred Activism located in Oak Park, Illinois. So today we'll learn more about what it means to practice Tantra personally and why we may just be way more joyful and blissful by recycling our tantric bliss back out into the world, even as it is. So let me ask you, Andrew, are we having a contemporary world crisis right now?
Well, I think we're having an overwhelming crisis, and I think it is in a deep sense a tantric crisis, because it's a crisis of the body. We have abandoned ourselves. We've abandoned the sacred. We've abandoned the planet. We've abandoned nature. And we've created a corporate suicide machine, which is killing nature and killing ourselves. So there's an enormous dissociation in action. And, of course, the financial crisis is the first of many crises that are going to happen. There's going to be a series, I think, of major crises, because the world has to be woken up.
So, that's a lot for a tantric practitioner to handle, shall we say.
Well, I think the tantric practitioner should be handling that, because tantra, at its deepest, is about the opposites, dancing with the opposites. And the whole point of the tantra in our time, I think, is to be a fuel for sacred action. It isn't meant to be a garden that people go into to hide from the world. It's a place where you go into to refresh yourself for the great battle for the future, which is happening right now in the middle of the world.
So you speak about a tantric revolution. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, I think the fundamental thing that needs to happen, and all of us need to really, really pursue it, is that to wake up to our sacred senses, to wake up to being in bodies, a divine consciousness in a body, having an embodied divine experience. Because when humanity wakes up to that, what humanity will wake up to is its own identity, the ineffable and total sacredness of nature, the holiness of all beings, and the necessity of putting that vision into practice through justice and living in harmony with nature. This is the only vision that can now save us, that can now help us, because we have created a completely destructive world out of our madness and greed and addictions. And now we need to wake up to the sacred and to enact our vision of the sacred in justice. And Tantra plays a very important part in that awakening, because the tantric awakening is the one that we need. It's the one that awakens us to the extreme sacredness of reality.
And how does it do that?
Well, Tantra at its highest level is the weaving. And Tantra in its ultimate form is an understanding that this reality is already liberated, is already sacred beyond belief, is a divine manifestation. So that comes through deep mystical practice. And it has many forms, Tantra. And one form is a sexual form, which is very holy and very powerful. And when you finally find someone with whom you can have a profound, ecstatic sexual relationship, which is also full of respect and tenderness and generosity of heart, then you find someone whom you can worship as the divine, and in that ecstatic worship you can taste the bliss energy of the Father-Mother. You can bathe in it, you can be infused by it. And that starts a change of the whole psyche, of the whole heart, of the whole mind, and eventually of the whole body. But the great danger of it is that you use it just for your own private satisfaction and not as a part of an overall vision of life that tunes you to the sacredness of all of life and makes you someone who's going to be a warrior protecting that life, as indeed this crisis menaces every aspect of it.
Yeah, what is it about Tantra where so many people think of Tantra as just the pleasure aspect?
Well, the pleasure aspect is not what makes it Tantra. Tantra is the perception. It's how you actually experience great bliss that changes it from being a wonderful sexual experience, which is a perfectly excellent thing, I'm not knocking it, to an experience that is consciously lived as a divine ecstasy.
That's very different. So you say that there are more than just the sexual Tantra, that the Tantra is actually much greater than just the sexual. So I do want to get back to the sexual, but what is the broader context of Tantra?
Well, Tantra is a fundamental vision into the heart of reality. And what the tantric vision sees is that reality is totally and absolutely soaked through with the divine presence, is nothing less than a constant divine dance, a constantly changing divine dance. And the tantric is the one who dances with the divine dance in the deepest perception by entering into an embodied divinity, by entering into the fullness of his or her life as a divine unfolding and prayer and play and offering and sacrifice. That is the ultimate tantra. And that tantra has many different aspects because there are many different ways of approaching that unified field, that dancing with the dance in reality. So there are many tantric joys. There's the joy of being one in nature and experiencing nature in your own consciousness. So swooping with the great heron, dancing in the wind and the trees, being one in ecstasy with the red of the flowers in the field. There's the tantra of profound meditation when through deep, deep adoration or deep inner silence you melt into reality and reality and you become one shimmering, one mutual shimmering in the heart, in the one. There's the tantra of great sacred friendship in which two beings over a long time unify their psyches and hearts. There's the tantra, sexual tantra, which is a sublime and very important tantra because in the ecstasy of sexuality, in the merging of sexuality, great alchemies of transformation can take place because the body alit with the glory of the ecstatic spirit can experience a wholly new level of embodied joy. And then there's the tantra of the love of the holy, the love of the saints, the love of the those who have become one with love. And that is a very holy form of tantra because through loving them with your whole being, your whole heart, mind and body, not sexually, but with your whole being, you can become penetrated by their essence, by their tenderness, by their vision, by their wisdom. So tantra is a huge vision.
Okay, so I think this is really, really beautiful what you're saying. I'm starting to just shake and shimmer because I can just feel what you're saying coming into me. So So I want to come back and learn a little bit more about the sexual tantra and why this needs to be combined with the other forms, and then how we link that with sending this back out into the world. We do need to take a break, so please stay with us. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I am here with Andrew Harvey. You can learn more about Andrew with his website, andrewharvey.net. And we will be right back, so please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we are talking about the five different kinds of tantra. And I want to know, can you tell us a little bit more about the sexual tantra?
Well, for me, the sexual tantra is very sublime and important tantra because it really is at the center of the creation. Everybody is born through an orgasmic experience. So the creation and the orgasm are linked, and the passion that you can know when deep love and deep desire and deep respect and deep worship are all combined with another human being is a divine passion. It takes you into realms of bliss and joy that are initiations into the bliss and joy that creates the universe. So sexual tantra is an extremely sacred and holy way of being initiated into divine reality. But it has its rules and its laws and its deep, deep training, I think. And I think people really make a confusion between very agreeable forms of sexual pleasure, which God knows I'm not against. I think every form of consensual sex that makes people happy is perfectly fine. And tantra, which is really a very profound ecstatic meditation on reality consciously enjoyed as such. So I think it's important to keep the high line on tantra, because if you do, you have an experience that totally changes your vision of reality and fires you up with a sacred energy, which then you can use in reality. Tantra is not meant to be an escape from reality. It's meant to be an initiation into the fire love energies that are creating reality. And so an initiation into what's happening in the outside world, which is that the energies of the tantric heart are being crucified by this massive world crisis. And so an initiation into a profound passion to do something about this tremendous crucifixion of the sacred feminine that's happening everywhere, the crucifixion of nature, the crucifixion of billions of human beings living in terrible, terrible circumstances. And then the fueling of the engagement with the world through the ecstatic experience of tantra. So tantra becomes, in a sense, like the petrol for your car, the fire for your hearth, the energy for your work, the passion for your commitment to justice. That's the real function of this tantra. That's why the mother's bringing it back.
So why is the mother bringing this back? Because I know when I, for example, saw your DVD, I had this reaction of, thank God I am listening to you talk, because sometimes I feel so guilty for having all of this joy and bliss, and then I feel so horrible. And you talk about how to use this passion to fuel an activism in the world. Can you just kind of walk us through that process? She'll connect up, you know, those two energies?
Well, the passion to do something in the world is a passion that arises from an open heart. Once your heart is open, you see that the world is burning to death and there are terrifying problems which really demand a human and humane response fast. Otherwise, there's going to be really major disaster. That's the truth of our situation. That's what we all have to face. So it's a terribly difficult truth to face. So what is it that would give us the fuel to be able to face it and to go on with real hope? And there's only one answer for me, and that is joy, because through waking up to the sacred in ourselves, through waking up to the sacred in nature, through waking up to this huge, powerful ecstasy that we can find in sexual tantric bliss, through waking up to the five tantras of being in nature, of sacred friendship, of all of these great ways of connecting with the unified field of God's love, what happens is that we are infused with the fire energy and passion and bliss and power and joy of love itself. Divine love fills us with itself, and with that fire energy, we can begin to be activists, not from rage or hatred or guilt or shame, but from a great calm joy that's being refueled constantly by tantric love and tantric friendship and tantric adoration of nature and tantric sacred conversation with friends and tantric immersion in the beauty and holiness of animals and tantric sexual passion. All of these great tantric joys fueling our joy, our fire, to be activists, sacred activists in a burning world.
See, I find there's so much hope and beauty in what you're saying. You know, it makes it more possible for me to actually confront what's happening. Is that the return of the mother? Is that, how would you call that, the revolution of the divine feminine? I mean, what are the
words? Yes, it is a revolution, because waking up the human heart, the mother heart, to reality, connecting us to a reality we've dissociated us from, is a revolution, because in the light of that tremendous heartbreak and tremendous ecstasy that we experience when we're one with a burning world and every creature in it, we see that everything that we've been doing is completely crazy. We have created a completely insane world which is now committing massive harakiri. So it's time to stop this, and she's returned to give us the insight, the sacred power, but she's also returned to give us this tremendous fuel for a massive new revolution of the heart, and that is the tantric fuel. And these five tantras link us to all of reality, and the heart of the tantras is the sexual tantra, because that's where the fire is hottest.
So now, this is so beautiful. This is so different from the way we think normally, even about Tantra.
Well, I think that's the problem, is because the way in which Tantra is taught in this country is very debasing, I think. I don't mean, and please don't think I'm in any way a Puritan. I'm not at all a Puritan. I believe deeply in the holiness of sexuality. And it's just that I think you need to know that Tantra is connected to a whole way of perceiving and being in the real with the real before sexuality can become what it's meant to be, which is a tremendous revelation of worship and adoration of the divine through another human being, through being worshipped as the divine. That is a huge revelation. It's not something to be played with. It's something to be prepared for.
So, thank you for that. I thank you very much. And
So it's not at all about Puritanism. It's wanting the meal to be as rich and transforming as possible, not to be wasted in hors d'oeuvres.
So let me ask you a question. Let's just move right along. When you say that we have created this destruction on our planet, who is the, and you know that the Divine Mother is returning, who is the we? Is it all
of
us?
Well, I think, yes, it's all of us. I think I like to think of it as the communal full self. We have a communal collective ego, I think, and that ego is quite clearly a suicidal ego. That ego wants to dominate nature, exploit nature, strip mine nature, use nature, and in doing that, it's cut itself from the divine self within, the divine soul within. So we're being governed by a crazy, psychotic, masculine ego, which is hell-bent on domination and exploitation, and we're all involved in this.
So it's like when Pogo said, I have met the enemy and it is us.
It's always us. Because the world outside is a projection of our own consciousness at this stage of our evolution. We have the technological means to manifest what we want. And what we clearly want in the full self is hell. Because that's what we've created.
Okay, so I want to find out who the Divine Mother is. We're going to take another break. I know, please stay with us. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I think there's some good news ahead. So please stay with us. We're talking with Andrew Harvey.
The good news is all ahead.
Yes, thank goodness.
The creation of this hell is itself a tremendous achievement.
You can find out more about Andrew at his website, andrewharvey.net. And And I just want to say that you can watch some of the best DVDs of your life, streaming videos. They are more entertaining, more moving, more passionate. You will laugh, you will cry, you will be enthralled for hours by just going to his website. They are so beautiful and moving. So AndrewHarvey.net. Of course, they'll be on his episode page, too. So please stay with us, but also remember his website.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking to Andrew Harvey about the return of the Divine Feminine. And, oh, we get to the good part. The Divine Feminine is coming, right?
Yes, she's arriving. She's inside us. She is us. We are her, you see.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, I think of the universe as one thing, one enormous intelligence manifesting itself on every level. And it manifests itself through opposites, through the dance of opposites, the coincidence of extreme opposites. And the fundamental opposite is, I believe, Father, Mother, the transcendent divine that is the Father, this is the ancient way of looking at it, and the embodied divine that is the Mother. So one way of seeing this is as seeing the whole universe as a diamond, and the shining of the diamond is the Mother, and the shining is what makes everything appear, and she is everything that is, everything that appears, everything that is in process. She is the process. So the glory of the Mother is infinite, obviously. The whole universe is a manifestation of her glory, and the whole universe is the temple of her divine presence. We are surrounded by her, we are in her. And our major catastrophe has been our forgetting of this primordial fact of reality. But since she cannot be avoided, since she's everything and everywhere, and since we've created a hell that has denied her, the antidote to that hell that is arising in the middle of the crisis is a return of the consciousness of the Sacred Mother to imbue us with a new vision and to break our hearts open and to fill our wills with passion and to infuse our bodies with sacred fire of Tantra so that we can go forward as sacred bliss warriors of love to recreate the world.
Okay, well, I want to bring out this point in this show and also in our second show with you. On the personal level and also on the level of taking action. So could you give us an example, maybe on a personal level, of how this might play out?
Of how what might play out?
The bringing our divine feminine more into our own being.
Well, I think the fundamental acceptance that we all need to make, and it's very difficult, I suspect, for all of us, is of our bodies, of our sacred physical nature. Because I think when you look at the way in which you've treated your body and in which you've been encouraged to treat your body by a lot of different patriarchal, religious and mystical and social and cultural systems, what you realize is that you've been in a concentration camp and you've been the gauleiter of that concentration camp, and the concentration camp is your abused body. So to bless the body, all of the body, and then to realize that the body is the temple of the soul, the manifestation of light energy, and then to realize that everything that is surrounding you is the manifestation of the Divine Feminine. Everything that is manifest is everything. Every blade of grass, every squirrel, every dancing flea, every dolphin, everything that you see is her. So to cultivate that kind of awareness of the presence of the Divine Feminine blessing and irradiating every created thing. That is, sounds very grand, but in fact it's as simple as walking up a street very slowly, being aware of the sacred in you, the sacred in the grass, the sacred in the people passing you, and allowing your heart to feel the great glowing joy and peace of that recognition, that incredible recognition of compassion and of love for the people, the temperature around.
I love what you're saying about just allowing your heart to feel, you know, and to break away from maybe the programming that we've had that we're not good enough, that we, you know, all the conditioning that we've had from the corporate, you know.
Right, and from these ghastly mystical systems sometimes that tell us about original sin. The mother, connecting with the mother is connecting with original blessing. How could you possibly not be blessed? Since you are her.
So what would original blessing look like? That we're beautiful just the way we are, that we're not too fat, we're not too skinny, that we're radiant beings.
No, I think original blessing, is that we are gifted with divine consciousness, that we're born with divine awareness. That's the blessing of blessings, because that means that we're connected with the divine transcendent intelligence.
And how do we access that?
We access that through prayer and through meditation and through deep, deep sacred practice. And we can access that through Tantra, too, when we're in a state of tremendous bliss. But we have to really practice that. It's not something that is just given. It's something that is given in the deepest sense, but we have to get in contact with.
So what kind of practices would be good practices? I know we're going to go into more of the sacred activism in our second show, so right now I'm just looking at the personal practices.
Well, I think there are three really important practices for everybody now as this crisis gets wilder and darker. Because the fundamental way of looking at this crisis is, I think, that we are being invited by the death we've created to birth in ourselves a new love energy that can birth a new world. So this darkness is actually constellating a tremendous new energy and a tremendous new creativity and a tremendous new light. And what everybody who sees how dangerous the true situation is needs to really ask themselves is, how can I be a midwife of this new light, this embodied divine light, this embodied divine life? And I think there are three basic practices. There are the cool practices, which are those practices that enable you to stay calm and deeply, deeply absorbed in divine being, whatever is going on. And their practices of breathing, of imageless meditation, of walking, practices of deep attention, they just calm you down and give you connection with the divine peace within. The second kind of practices, I think, are what I call the heart practices, the warm practices. They are practices of the heart, awakening the heart to the adoration of reality, awakening the heart to loving nature, loving the presence of the divine in animals and flowers and grass and the people that pass you in the street, in your friends, in the quality of sunlight in your life, opening your whole heart up to the connection with the divine heart that's manifesting all of this outrageous wildness that is reality. And the third practice that is crucial, I think, for all of us is a sacred body practice. And I have two that I love. I do yoga, and I also love sacred dance, because I find that doing yoga and doing sacred dance helps me be in the beauty and power of my body and to enjoy being in a body and to experience the divine energies in the body. And I think working with these sacred physical practices opens up your entire body to the bliss field that is always manifest in reality, because that bliss field is the presence of the divine and under, the divine joy in everything. And that can be experienced also in the sacred physical ritual and discipline of impassioned divine tantra between two beings, because those beings who have found that kind of holy wildness in themselves and the holy wildness in each other and can worship each other as the divine wild being that they are, they can experience too that joy and that bliss energy and be completely infused by it. So if you have those three kinds of practices, the cool practices that calm you down, the warm practices that keep your heart juicy and vibrant and luscious and open and adoring and impassioned and illumined and ecstatic, and the physical practices that keep irrigating your body joy, then you can really stop feeling such a victim of this crisis and start feeling summoned and challenged by it to come into your fullest dignity and fullest energy and fullest passion and start working from that energy and dignity and passion.
Well, I'm very, very turned on and excited. I know we're going to talk in our second show about how we're going to bring this energy out into the world with the sacred activism and the true marriage, the true sacred marriage. We are going to bring this show to a close. I'm glad I'm doing a lot of these practices, so but it makes me just want to do more. So thank you so much for that. We are going to be bringing this show to a close. I would like to invite you to, is there something you can share with our listeners to inspire us before we do bring our show to an end here?
Or maybe just these lines of Rumi. Passion burns down every branch of exhaustion. Passion is the supreme elixir and renews all things. So don't let your brows become bleak with cynicism and boredom. Look for passion, 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 passion.
Wow. I love it. That's hot. I love it. Thank you so much. We've been talking today with Andrew Harvey. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. And I want to say you can learn more about Andrew Harvey at his great website, andrewharvey.net. He has some great streaming DVDs, streaming video on his website. Check it out. And thank you very much for spending time with me and Andrew today on our show. And thank you, Andrew, for being our guest.
Oh, great pleasure. What fun this is.
Yes. So I have one request for my listeners. Please fill out my survey at survey.personallifemedia.com. It helps us find out who you are, and we want to know. So thank you once again. Please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows, go to personallifemedia.com. And visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com for my mailing list, events, and services. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.